the reason these disturbances, they followed you to a new home, is because it's not the house that's haunted. It's your son.
So 1,100 men went in the war. 316 men come out. The Sharks took the rest June the 29th, 1945. Anyway, we delivered the bomb.
Never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, say, I'll be right back. Because you won't be back.
You get another beer, you want one?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be right back!
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Oh, shit. Oh.
My name is Robert Hawkins. Approximately 7 hours ago, something attacked the city. You found this. If you're watching this, then you know more about it than I do.
California, stay away from me. Stay away from me. I'll come with you. John Doe has the upper hand.
And on that day, Ahab will go to his grave, but he'll rise again within the hour. He will rise and beckon that all save one shall follow.
They're all gonna laugh at you! They're all gonna laugh at you! They're all gonna laugh at you!
Hello, welcome once again to Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror, film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I'm one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the U.S. of A., and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is Eric.
Eric, how are you, sir?
I am well.
Excellent. And in the state of New York?
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm fucking here, Phil.
Excellent, excellent. And at the Commonwealth of Massachusetts?
Hello, this is Abe.
Abe, how are you, sir?
I'm here, and I'm 30.
Oh, yeah, happy birthday, what? Abe. Happy fucking birthday.
Thank
when
you.
When is it, today?
It was Sunday.
Sunday. And Eric, isn't your birthday coming up?
Yeah.
Happy fucking old age, Eric.
I think I already donated to your thing, but I'll have to check again.
I don't think I did.
Stress about it.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't go on Facebook much anymore, so I think
I did create one. I don't think anybody's donated so far, but I think that's because I haven't shared it. So I'll share it, and maybe that'll help.
Yes, it should. Because I usually try to donate at least something.
Yes, yes. So happy birthday to Eric and Abe. This is March 25th, 2021, that we are recording. So Abe is now in a new decade. As are we, at Dark Discussions podcast, because now we are past the 10th year anniversary of the podcast.
Wait a minute. Abe was
20 when we started.
Point of interest. Does this mean that Abe was technically a teenager when this podcast began?
No, he would have been 20. 20.
At 20.
Turned
30.
He would have been 19. Yeah, 19. He would have been 19.
Fuck.
Yeah, it was 19 for 3 weeks when the podcast started. Pretty impressive. Damn.
And yet, despite his age, he is very well versed in the classics.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yes. So for folks who are stumbling upon us and wonder who we are, we are, as stated, Dark Discussions Podcast. Basically, we discuss horror, sci-fi, fantasy, thrillers, techno thrillers, mysteries, grindhouse, art house, midnight movies, foreign films, occult films, drive-in fear, and the like. So basically, talk about basically intelligently about a genre that deserves intelligence. We're found at darkdiscussions.com, which is the Dark Discussions News Network website. That's a website where you can find any news related to genre. So reviews, release notices, columns, articles, all sorts of things. Plus, there's over 30 podcasts that you can listen to. So if you follow a genre news, you should check out darkdiscussions.com at least every day, because it's updated all the time. You can email us at darkdiscussions@aol.com, and also on the contact form on darkdiscussions.com. You can follow us also on Facebook in the Dark Discussions Podcast Facebook group, where there's discussions going on all the times. And we're on Twitter, darkdiscussion1, and so on. Eric, what else can they find at darkdiscussions.com?
Well, on each page, they can find a link to our Patreon account, which can also be found at www.patreon.com patreon.com/darkdiscussions. Patreon is a way that you can financially contribute to our online artists like us. Producing the show is not free. Stuff has to be paid for, like website hosting and file hosting and computer equipment and movie rentals and so on and so forth. So if you would like to help us offset those costs, the way you can do that is to go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions. For every $5 a month that you care to donate, you'll have the opportunity to submit a topic for us to possibly do an episode about. We take all the submissions from our patrons, and we draw one at random on a quarterly basis to do an episode on. So if that's something that you'd be interested in, we certainly appreciate any support you can give us. That's patreon.com/darkdiscussions, or you can find the link on any page of darkdiscussions.com.
That's right. So any help is greatly appreciated. Also, we may be able to do Mystic this year. We'll figure it out as we get closer.
Fingers crossed.
Yep, fingers crossed with all the vaccines.
Among
and all
other
that.
Appendages.
Indeed. We'll talk about that as spring gets in full swing. Actually, this is the first episode we've recorded during spring of 2021. How about that? All right.
Not counting an episode of Cinema a la Carte.
That is true. That is true.
That was supposed to happen in the fall, but that's okay.
That is true. That is true as well. Anything anybody wanted to bring up before we get into our topic tonight? Anyone? Anything?
Nope.
All right. Sounds good. So I guess with that, Eric, why don't you let everybody know what we're going to discuss tonight?
Tonight, we are going to be talking about the new release on the Shudder streaming service called Stay Out of the Fucking Attic.
Good morning. We're here to facilitate your move.
This place is huge, bro.
It is four times your rate. It is imperative that the move happen tonight. The basement and the attic are not your concern.
This shit is crazy.
Yo, boss, come here, man.
What you find?
Holocaust experiments.
That's right. Stay out of the fucking attic.
There you go.
Said it.
Yes.
I mean, I would have liked a little more New England in that pronunciation.
He had to push himself. He took a great big pause, but he said it.
That's true.
I would have liked a little bit more fucking attic. That would have been.
That's true. I use the word a lot in passing, but when I have it in a word, it's a title or something, I stutter. It's like,
just,
what do I say?
Just imagine it's a Bucky fucking Dent. Just
there you go. That's a fair
Let
point.
Let it come out.
So Stay Out of the Fucking Attic is directed by a guy named Jaron Lauder. It's co-written by Jaron Lauder, Jesse Fetterman, and Jason Scott Goldberg. I wonder if that's coincidence that everybody's last name is Jewish in this film. Anyway, Ryan Francis, Morgan Alexandria, and Bryce Fernelius. So we'll discuss all that. There's a theme that's related to the Jewish folk in the film. The film is a 2021 film, as mentioned, and it became available on Shudder about a week and a half ago or something like that. So mid-March 2021. Technically, it did festival circuits for whatever that was in 2020, but it was released everywhere, as we stated, in March 2021. So I think we can get into how we heard about this film and what we thought about it. So let's start with you, Abe.
So I think I just came across it a couple of times when I was looking through Shudder, but I wasn't interested in watching it at the time. Then I missed last week's recording, and Phil let me know that this would be what we'd be doing for this week. So I sat down this afternoon and just watched it. I didn't really know what I was getting into, and overall, it's not half bad. The film is, you can see, it's definitely of a smaller budget scale, but it's actually can be at times pretty fun. It has some pretty nice gory moments. Performances are here and there in terms of like quality. Some of it's fun and campy and playful. Other times it does do some solid deliveries. There's some great makeup effects and some, a couple of good bits of gore. Once you get to the end of the film, there's a few little last minute little scenes, little short scenes and stuff like that in the middle and end of the credits and stuff. So, you know, if you plan on ever watching it, keep, you know, just stay to the end just so you don't miss anything. And, it was a good experience. It wasn't a bad one. I'm not sure where I would rank this for this year. There hasn't been that many films. I can't really talk about too many things without getting into spoilers. Because they're basically talking about what's in the fucking attics would be giving fucking spoilers. Overall, not bad, and I'm looking forward to us dissecting this.
All right, sounds good. I heard about this film because, we didn't know what to do last week, and it popped up on our discussion last week. I forget if it was you, Eric, or Mike that brought it up. I think it was you, Eric.
I didn't know about it, so.
Yeah, I didn't either. So I think it was Eric. It sounded all right. So we said, sure, we'll take a chance on it as our latest topic for this episode. And that's how I heard about it. I felt it was all right. I didn't really enjoy it that much. I guess it depends on. It's a strange film because it has some comedic elements, and then it's really dark, and then it's crazy. So it's all I can say is it has to be a grindhouse film, but it doesn't feel like a true grindhouse film, even though it has grindhouse things in it that make it like crazy. But the tonal shifts were a little much of an issue for me. There's arguments about someone's tattoo. When they're about to die. I don't know. It's just some weird things that didn't work for me. But again, if you look at this as a grindhouse film, I guess it doesn't matter because that's what grindhouse films are. They're supposed to be over the top, ridiculous in points. I wasn't a huge fan of the film, but I didn't dislike it. So it was okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad it was free. It was okay. It was okay. Let's go with you, Mike.
Yeah, so kind of as I just mentioned, I had no idea this film even existed. And I certainly wouldn't have based on the title, since Shudder, for some reason, doesn't actually use its title on the webpage or on the app that I'm using. For some reason, they leave out one of the words. I'll let you figure out which one it is.
They left Attic out.
Yeah, but I will say this. Once I found out the name of the thing, this is where picking a good title can really pay off, because if you have the balls to use that title, I got to see what you did. I got to see what the movie is. So I saw it, and weirdly enough, I think the title is almost inappropriate. It doesn't quite work because there's not a whole lot of
Stay Out of the Attic in it. Right?
Yeah, it's more Stay Out of the Basement.
Yeah, true.
Stay Out of the Goddamn Basement instead of the fucking Attic.
Yeah, I think there's a film already that's called that. But
so, Staying Out of the Attic is a part of it, but I was expecting a much longer build-up to getting in the attic than was there. Be that as it may, it did its job. It got me to check out the movie, and I had fun with it. It is, you mentioned, you know, doing the festival circuit. Like, I didn't know if this was going to be a good or a bad thing, but, like, immediately upon watching it, I could feel myself sitting in a convention hall at a horror convention watching a low-budget film with a crappy projector and shitty sound, because it just has that feel of a low-budget film. And again, your mileage will vary. The performances are, as you said, uneven. there are definitely grindhouse elements in it. You know, in the end, if I'm grading it on its artistic merit to sprinkle awards on it, you know, then I might judge it one way, but that's not what it is. What they made was a fun horror film, and it leans kind of heavy into body horror, which always works, well, not always, but usually works well for me. So I liked that. I thought the script was fairly smart for what it's trying to do. It is got some logical questions in it, but again, it's that it is a deliberate kind of grindhousey kind of film. And so you don't really worry too much about those points.
That's fair. Eric.
Well, it sounds like as a group, we're giving this a solid meh. Because I repeat a lot of the same points that everybody else has. The performances were uneven. I felt they felt particularly forced at the beginning of the movie and maybe got better as it went on. Don't know if it was set in sequence. Doesn't really matter in the long run. Some good gore. There's some good makeup effects. There was one reveal in particular that just made me yell at my TV, get the fuck out of here. But other than that, I thought the movie was a pretty good time. And if you already subscribe to the Shudder streaming service, I would say check it out. But I would say don't go out of your way to track it down.
All right, sounds good. So Eric pretty much summed it up. A general, it's all right, by all of us. Eric, do we have a...
No. I enjoyed it, though. I'm giving it more than a meh. I'm just wondering because there are issues with it, but it is a fun experience for me.
Which is interesting. Mike's usually the one that always poo-poos the grindhouse films. But okay.
Well, good. When they're shooting...
I guess it depends on your definition of what that means, but yeah. So let's go on to AdWiki, Eric.
Sorry, you caught me with a mouthful of water. WikiWiki! A group of ex-cons turned movers are convinced by their creepy client to pull an all-nighter. As the night progresses, they uncover the horrors that exist inside this old Victorian mansion.
All right. That pretty much sums it up, Dan. Yeah. I assume everybody went in blind, right? Did anybody? I didn't even read the little blurb on Shudder. I just
yes, you did. Literally last week while we were on the call.
Oh yeah, all right, but it didn't say anything. No,
it said monsters in the attic. Even though pretty there much. Were even though that really wasn't the thing.
Oh, all right. How about that? Okay. Yeah, see, so I didn't even remember. So I pretty much went in blind anyway, but yeah, either way. Yeah. But there's a big reveal that has nothing to do with, I guess it has something to do with what's in the attic or basement or whatever it is, but it wasn't mentioned in the blurbs. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So that was, came out of left field, which, but it oddly did work. All right. Kind of, sort of. So what do we want to discuss before we bring up the spoiler alert?
I do want to say that there was one shot early in the movie that really caught my eye. In fact, I rewound a little bit to make sure I'd seen it correctly because it was pretty clever. Which is there was, I don't know if you guys noticed it, there was a scene where the movers are all upstairs talking. And their leader says, okay, I'll go downstairs and do the thing. You guys stay here. And the shot's on him at the top of the stairs next to the doorway. And it starts to follow him down the stairs. And then the camera just reverses direction and pans back past that doorway. But through the doorway, you now see the stairs downstairs and that guy coming down the stairs. Did you guys catch that when it happened?
No, that's interesting.
Huh.
It was a really interesting kind of, I don't want to call it a visual effect, but it was a neat camera shot that they did to make things look interesting.
That is cool. That so they when they went through the door, they that must have been like so it wasn't a straight shot, obviously, unless there was like a hole in the door or something. But
well, they probably put a green screen in the doorway.
Gotcha.
And then used the shot of him coming down the stairs against the green screen.
Right, right.
But I totally was not expecting that. I was like, oh, that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Actually, the film was pretty well shot. Cinematography, the angles, the location, it worked well. You were going to say something?
Yeah, and I mean, for the resources, they however limited they were handled effectively. I think it helped a lot, too, that their main location was, you know, a smaller scale kind of place. So it wasn't going to require too much complicated shots or stuff. And I think it gave them an advantage in terms of at least making the production a little more solid than what it might be for other films of this level, you know?
Sure, sure. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Anything else anybody wanted to bring up before we threw the spoiler alert out? Anything? All right. Well, before we do, I'll just do another quick setup. There's three guys. Two guys and a gal that work for a trucking or a moving company, and the boss, and then one guy and one girl. Their ethnicities are important for the film. The girl is black. The assistant is Latino, and the other guy is of just a regular white guy, the boss. the boss owns the company, it seems, and he calls it Starting Over, I think, Second Chance Movers. And as Eric mentioned in the wiki, 3X Con, so he opened up a company to give people who get out of jail that are not regularly hired because of their criminal record a second chance. And so he calls it a Second Chance Movers. And then they are hired to do a job at this really wealthy Victorian mansion. The elderly man, Mueller, that lives there has a German accent. He's from the old country, obviously. And he says that he needs it done by early morning. And they said, well, this is a much bigger job than we thought. I don't know if we can do it. And so he gives them thousands of dollars over and above. And they still don't want to do it because they're getting weird vibes. And then he gives an extra $1,000 on top of that. And so they decide to do it. And so they said they're going to try to get it done before 8 in the morning. And this is like – so a 24-hour period. And that's pretty much it. That's the setup, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no. All right, so I guess we'll throw up the spoil. Oh, and I'm assuming this—I don't know where this takes place. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't matter, I guess. But either way, we'll throw up the spoiler alert now, and we will review and critique, because we're not just a review site; we also critique. So there will be multiple spoilers as we discuss specific scenes and whatnot. So the spoiler alert is up. And we are going to discuss this film in great detail. All right, so who wants to start?
I'll start. Yep. I did like the first 20 minutes of this movie. I was just like, oh no, oh no.
Yeah, me too.
Because the acting seemed particularly forced, and there were a couple things that were just like expositionville. Like they're all standing outside by the truck with the most unnatural dialogue in the world. He's like, well, look at my tattoo from prison, and oh, look at my track marks, and let's share and bring out all our skeletons.
Let's spontaneously discuss our background history for people who have known each other for some time and yet apparently don't know anything about each other.
Well, the one guy was his first day, so yes. I'll allow that, but still, it's just like...
But I think he still knew the boss, though, right? Because he was... I don't know. I can't remember. But yeah.
Whatever.
But it still was particularly forced. At least it felt like it to me. And so, like, for that first little portion of the movie, I'm just like, oh, my God. Am I going to have to sit through an hour and a half of this? but then, it like, once they get inside and start, like, uncovering stuff, it got better. I'll also say, and I have a feeling that was done on purpose, because after all, they did make a point of saying that it was that guy's first day. But Carlos, worst mover ever.
as someone who actually does work in a moving company and stuff like that, yeah, there's a lot of things I was kind of wincing as he's like handling the old books and stuff.
And also the fact that he was just like, tell me if I'm assuming something incorrectly here, Abe. If you had an entire wall full of books and you had to put them in the boxes, would you start at, say, let's say the upper left-hand corner and go across the top shelf and then move down to the next shelf and then move down to the next shelf?
Because sometimes our clients will want us to keep some certain books in order. Like, for example, I was at a college and we were cleaning out the offices of some of professors and stuff like that. So in order to keep everything as they were, so when they would put back on the shelves or other shelves, they would at least have an order. So yes, we'd go from the top and work our way down. Sometimes if there's a longer shelf, we would just keep going across. But he was just grabbing everything.
He was grabbing random shit. Like there was one time he went up to the bookcase and like grabbed one book off of three different shelves and then threw them into a box. I'm just like, dude, what are you doing?
And some of the books you could clearly see were much older than so they needed some actual care. He's just
I have a feeling maybe it was done on purpose for humorous effect, but yeah, that guy sucked as a mover.
Well, and they do have the boss, Schillinger, say,
use smaller boxes. Books are heavy.
Yeah, use smaller boxes. Books are heavy. Trust me on this.
And that's
fuck it. Now, personally, you know, we have a lot of books when we move. Those I would pack. I would not trust those because I'm very, I can be very anal about the condition of my books. I do not want somebody throwing them in a box.
Right.
Especially like this guy clearly had some very old and valuable books dating all the way back to like the 1930s and 40s. You know, that you might want to have in good condition.
Right, right. Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. I guess, and it was a little bizarre that this guy, Mueller, would want those books for some of their contents, never mind their age, to be randomly packed by three strangers. That was a little weird, I felt as well. But that is true about the boxes. I when we had our flood down here in the basement, I packed up all my DVDs and they aren't as heavy as books. And those boxes weighed a ton, and we had to unpack them and put them in smaller boxes. So that's true.
Yeah. Well, that's neither here nor there. It was just an observation I made.
Yeah, I don't think he was supposed to be good at his job. I think, they deliberately show that he doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
He was just there to get a paycheck type of thing.
Yeah. And by the way, I am all for giving reformed convicts the opportunity to get a job. But man, if there's a job I don't think I would want to be hiring convicts for, it's moving my personal belongings.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm being prejudicial there. But, you know, like making me breakfast is one thing. You know, moving my DVD collection, whatever. Yeah. If I owned anything worth stealing, I think that would be the problem.
I was going to say, you don't give a shit about your DVD collection. You don't even shelve them in alphabetical order.
I do.
For a week now, he's had them in alphabetical order.
No, I've had them since the fall. With COVID, there's a lot of time to stay in the house and do things like that.
It's COVID. It's all still last spring.
That's true. It reminded me of Prison Mike from The Office. I had to get my weekly office.
Mm-hmm.
You have it good. Prison Mike.
Phil, you ignorant slut.
All we eat is gruel in the clink. Sorry. Anyway, okay, so What else do we want to discuss? So these three, I mean, the boss, he was pretty good. Schillinger, he was pretty professional and whatnot. But his two employees, they were like, yeah, they're big time slackers.
I liked Imani, though.
Oh, no, I didn't say
it. She was by far my favorite character in this movie.
Yes,
I'm not saying I disliked any of them. I'm just saying that I don't know if I would hire them as movers.
I think once you got past the painfully forced exposition in the beginning, mm-hmm. I agree. I liked the actors. I liked the characters. You know, they didn't have as much dialogue after that.
No,
you know, it wasn't hinging on performance, so maybe that's part of it. But I think the main thing in a horror movie is not that you're impressed with the acting, but I think that it's that you like the characters, even if they are acted badly.
Sure.
And these actors were charismatic enough that I liked them. I did not want any of them to die, although I was pretty sure I knew who was going to make it at the end. Because
I was hoping they all died. It was, not that I disliked them. It was a grindhouse film, but anyway.
Well, right. And there was always that possibility. But if there was one that was the final girl, I was kind of expecting Carlos to be the final girl.
Gotcha.
Because Carlos makes a big issue about he's getting this money to put aside for his college, for his daughter's college fund.
Right.
He's the one character that has something outside of this little business that we know about. So I expected him to be the one and I was expecting the last scene to him be like going to see his daughter with a pocket full of cash or something, which by the way is not at all what happens.
Yeah. But you know, Carlos unfortunately also ends up could have been set up as a tragic newbie because he has the kid at home and everything like that. It's just like, oh, you know, usually those are the kind of characters you think, you know, they're going to get first, like the same kind of character who's like, I got two more weeks of retirement.
Right. Yeah, like Bill Paxton from Aliens.
Yeah, either that or the newbie, right, which is often, you know,
right,
the rookie. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, he's so young.
Well, I actually like Schillinger from the beginning to the end, because his character wasn't a joker throughout the film, so he was pretty much straight the entire film. And also, I liked how he was trying to make a better life for himself by forming such a company and then intentionally hiring other fellow prisoners, or let me rephrase, other fellow people with records who
– Ex-cons.
Ex-cons who need employment, and so he's trying to make life's better for other people, not just for himself.
And
I honestly believe he felt that way, and he wasn't just doing it to make money. So
and he wasn't right, and he wasn't doing, as I've seen in other films or TV shows, whatever, where it's somebody who's only employing the ex-cons because they're cheap labor.
Right.
So, you know. So yeah, there was a genuineness there. Like I said, I liked all the characters. I did.
Yeah. I think what really helps too is that the cast is so small. You have more time to get to know them than you would be.
That's if it was really good.
You know, instead of like being a huge group of workers all being poured into that house, which would have made it hard to kind of figure out, get to know everybody in that short amount of time. Because the film was only like 80 minutes, maybe just take give or take.
Short, yeah.
Yeah, give or take because of the opening and closing credits and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it was like only about an hour and 13 minutes total if you take away the credits. And you're absolutely right. With the limited amount of characters, we got to know all three of the movers fairly well, even if they didn't have the exposition. Thank you. Exposition moments in the film. So I think that's an excellent point. Mike, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I will say you mentioned Schillinger. I am curious if this was intentional or not, if they just chose a German name generally or if they chose that specifically, because I don't know if anyone here has ever seen the TV show Oz.
Nope.
I have not.
Okay, so in Oz, it's an HBO show. If you have HBO Max, you can go back and watch the episodes. In Oz, J.K. Simmons plays a character by the name of Schillinger, And Schillinger is basically the head of the neo-Nazi gang in the prison.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's actually the one piece of trivia they have on IMDb about this movie.
Oh, okay.
All right, so maybe they intentionally named him Schillinger because of that character from Oz.
Well, it wouldn't shock me because that show is like 20 years old now. So, yeah, you can get a whole generation that's grown up. Like, maybe their parents let them watch the show when they were 10 years old.
I just assumed it was Greater New York because there's a lot of German folk all over the place in New York. So I just assumed that the whole film was New York, but I think you're right. I think it was intentionally his name, and he's the only character out of the three that has a last name too.
That's true.
Yeah, it's a good point. Well, we know except Mueller. Mueller has two last names.
No, I said out of the three movers.
Yeah, so I was just curious. That could have been coincidence. It could have been an intentional nod. We'll have to wait for the commentary track to find out about that. But yeah, so that was a thing. And then, of course, when the reveal comes, then it, like, that clicked and it suddenly made more sense to me.
Right.
And, of course, that reveal being that as they're sitting there talking about their past sins, Schillinger forgot to mention one in the group. And lo and behold, his new employee, Carlos, is quite surprised to see he's got an SS tattoo on his right forearm.
Right, right. Yeah, well, that was interesting, too. I thought that was interesting that any of the ex-cons would have cared about any of that stuff because – I mean, they do eventually say, yeah, you do whatever you have to do in prison. But at that point, like you said, I mean, Imani knew Schillinger for a long time, or it seems like that I don't even know if it would have even mattered to her. And then Carlos, maybe it does matter. I don't know. I don't know how it would matter. It's just interesting. Everybody, these are people that had problems in the past, and now they paid their time and they're trying to get back on their feet. And so it's felt a little forced, is what I'm saying.
Well, to me, it's, you know, we're and it is going to tie into the film and the thing that I was kind of initially iffy about with the film, but it's you know, if let's say we go to Mystic, you know, in this summer, and you know, we've met some people there and we've had a regular meetup, and let's say you get somebody like Leo Pond is there. Leo's a good guy. We know Leo, we like Leo. And then we're sitting out in the restaurant, he reaches over to grab the maple syrup
and then
you know,
we find out he's Canadian.
And yeah, he's got a maple leaf on. No, but he's got like a swastika on his arm. I think all of us, the first reaction would be, what the fuck? That would be our first response. That would just be a knee-jerk response for that. I'm glad that they didn't make it a bigger issue than it was, that he said, you know, he explained it. I had to do it for safety in prison. And he said, oh, okay, I get you. And they kind of moved on from that.
Yeah.
You know, that they didn't belabor it. It wasn't an unforgivable sin.
Yeah, that's true. I think that would be different if it was Leo, because none of us would be looking at him or ourselves as people who've broken the law and have paid our dues to society in prison. And I think if it was that way, I think you would look at it a little differently. And I think that maybe that's the reason why it was explained away easily by the characters. It's like, yeah, you do whatever you have to do.
Right. Well,
I reiterate that this is all hypothetical. None of us has spotted a swastika on Leo Pond.
Or a maple leaf.
Yes.
Yes, Leo Pond is not Canadian. he's like me, though. He's one of those ex-French Canadians. His ancestors came from there to get the hell out of there. Anyway, so, yes, because we don't want people to start thinking Leo is a neo-Nazi Canadian or something. Jesus, that's terrible.
If you happen to have some past affiliations that you'd rather not have people know about or would not want to be judged about, then maybe when you go work closely with someone in a business that quite possibly will require you to take your shirt off and show your skin while you're working, or your jacket off, you might want to let them know ahead of time.
We don't take kindly to Canadians around here.
Exactly. Say, look, I was in college. It was a dare. I was drunk. I was dating
maple syrup.
There was this hot chick from Montreal. You know, I did it as a dare.
Yeah, I see your point. But you know what? I don't think he was going to ever take his shirt off. You know, hot day or not, obviously he wouldn't, because he's not going to be want anybody to see it. So, I mean, his excuse was legitimate, which it costs a fortune to have those tattoos removed, and he's eventually going to. It's just that he has to save enough money to do so and whatever.
Well, you can either get them removed or you can have them done over. Those are the two options. And doing it, having somebody have it covered up with something is a lot cheaper.
Either way, I don't think I would let anybody ever know. I mean, if I was Canadian, I would most certainly never tell you folks. I don't want to be judged, you know, I mean, it's terrible. So I can see why he wouldn't, you know, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it's like, put it this way. I'm Roman Catholic. I'm half Portuguese, half French. Partly French Canadian. I'm not going around to my next door neighbor and say, "Hey, how are you? My name's Phil. I'm a Roman Catholic." You know, I just don't do that. You know, people don't do that. So why would you want to tell them?
Well, because this isn't a random person. It's not like he's telling his grocery clerk. He's telling someone who, you know, has a good chance of seeing his sleeve tat. You know that it's,
I see what you're saying.
As you notice, he doesn't just have one. You know, he's got several tattoos with Nazi themes.
Right, but none of them technically would be seen if he had clothes on. So, but either way, I'm the type of person that don't tell anybody anything, you know. So,
we're gonna be honest all day.
Yeah, we're just going back and forth. But yeah, they get our points. I mean, there's multiple things make sense. All right, so. What else? The Victorian mansion.
The attic in the basement.
Pretty fancy. It's a nice house.
Now, I did miss something, and I was too lazy to rewind. What was the symbol on the lock? Did anybody catch that?
I
rewinded. I rewinded. You never get to really see it.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just that he spotted the lock as an old German lock, and I'm going to, you know, that's... That's all I could guess. I don't know. Maybe he knows that
they said some sort of symbol and stuff. So yeah. They don't show it. The camera never goes close enough.
It's because and it's also because the lock itself is very dark, so it's kind of hard to make out any details.
Well, they never put the camera close enough for you to see anything. It just looks like a regular lock.
Right. You know, if in a proper film with a real budget. You know, that kind of an insert is something that you have a second unit for to like film those close-ups.
Exactly.
And there are a couple of things. That would be one. Another would be the tattoos, because it's the quality of the tattoos on Schillinger is a plot point. To me, they all look the same.
Right.
You know, watching it on my TV at home, they all just look neat and clean and professionally applied. You know, where some of them are supposed to be professional tattoos and others are supposed to be shitty prison tats.
Right.
And that they have to tell you that. One, I think they have to tell you that because if you do not, because first of all, most of us, some of us are not into ink culture and so wouldn't notice the difference.
Right.
Or know the significance of it. But
right.
Even knowing that, I can't tell the difference between it.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. Yeah, I know, like my brother. And his wife would most certainly know the difference, because they got tattoos all over them. My sister-in-law has like everywhere there's tattoos except for her cheeks, probably. But you're right. I mean, I would have no idea. I could tell artistic work if the picture is nice, you know, but I would not know if the work is nice. So that's a fair point. They have to bring that up, otherwise, because not everybody who's watching the film. Would know tattoos culture or tattoos as a hobby. Yeah. Fair point, Mike. And it plays a role later in the film.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, they're packing up the house, and they have two rules. One rule is don't go in the basement. And, of course, the second rule is stay out of the fucking attic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Which I was very disappointed that the old German man didn't actually say it like that.
Right.
I will say I was getting something weird with the old guy, because I felt like the way the characters are talking about him makes him sound like he's 85.
Right.
And he doesn't
right.
look that old to me, the actor.
Right.
So I was getting a little weird dissonance, although we can explain that a little later in the film, that maybe you can make an argument as to the reason why for that.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm still confused how we find out who the guy is, that it can be that person, because even at 85, would it make sense? But yeah, the German guy, I mean, you kind of knew that the German guy was going to be probably nefarious, because again, this is a horror film and it's an old Victorian mansion. So the question is it going to be supernatural? Is it going to be a mad scientist? Is it going to be devil worshippers? Yeah, you know, who knows?
Vampires or something, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't know what it was going to be. We just know that there's a scary house with an old man in it. And, you know, I mean, it could have even been a lich for some, you know, who knows? We don't know what was going on.
Yeah, but once you introduce the Nazi tats, you have a pretty good idea where this is going.
You know what? I didn't get that. I didn't know why they brought the Nazi tats up, but until after the film began its second act. At that time, I thought it was just showing that they were, you know, just exposition backstory to make us know who, you know, these people a little better, or to set up a argument later in the film between some of the characters, you know, because why would the characters start fighting each other when they're about to die, unless there was something that I guess is a Chekhov's tattoo that would let us know that there's going to be arguments later, you know, because it just doesn't make sense. I mean, I could be with some person I work with or my neighbor that I dislike, that if something horrible like that happened when the Chinese invade my street, I would still be buddies with the guy and fight off the Chinese. I wouldn't be bickering with them. So I think that's why they did it, until the second act when I found out the real reason why they did it.
Well, I mean, you did have an old German man owning the house.
Yeah, but you know what? I just thought that was a stock. You know, you always have a foreign an accent, whether it's an English accent, a German accent, or some other accent. The Russian accent's another one that usually they're always bad people.
Toronto accent.
Did you see that put it together when you saw the signature Joseph Mengel on one of the letters they found?
That's when you exactly, because this wasn't a guy that was just collecting World War II memorabilia. This was a little different than that. Yeah,
a lot more troubling.
Although it does make me wonder, and you know, we are how many years removed from the end of World War II? 75 years,
76 years.
So, you know, time does march on, and I do wonder, like how many young people would see the name Joseph Mengele and know who Joseph Mengele is just from seeing the name. I mean, they do explain it to you later, in the film. You know, it's just, you know, if you're not somebody who watches the History Channel a lot, or you know, grows up like I did with a father who was obsessed with World War II.
Or read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich,
or something like that. Yeah, so I can very easily see, like, somebody who is in their 20s, which now leaves Abe out, possibly not knowing, or even 30s, whatever, who doesn't know who Mengele is.
Sure.
I could certainly see that as a possibility. Nevertheless, they do explain it to you later, so that's important.
Right. Yeah, I don't know why they went with Mengele. I don't get it in a sense.
A reason. If any of our listeners are not familiar with who Joseph Mengele is, look it up. his Wikipedia page is pretty fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
Joseph spelled with an F. And then M-E-N-G-E-L-E.
And also
known as the Angel of Death.
Yes.
Yeah, there was another guy that was even worse than him, but the Nazis actually executed him because he was stealing money on the side, too. But
Wow. I was going to say, what? He was so bad, even the Nazis didn't like him?
Yeah, believe it or not.
He's fucking bad.
Yeah, his name was, I think it began with an R, a Rauscher or something like that. I forget it, but he was nuts too. But either way, yeah, Mengele. But the problem I had with it wasn't that; it was that pretty much everybody in World War II is dead, and Mengele would be 111 years old.
Right. Well, if they
kind of explain it in the context of this movie, but at the same time. When they revealed that this old guy was indeed Joseph Mengele, that's when I said, get the fuck out of here.
Right. And here's the thing, Phil, I do have to ask, how much are you looking at your phone while you're watching the movies? Because they do tell you why he's still alive in the film.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
You know, I absolutely had the, because I was already having trouble buying that this guy was like over maybe 60, 65. You know, and that he was, it's like this frail old man is how they refer to him. And it's like, I didn't see frail. He seemed like a fairly healthy older man. And then, you know, he's Joseph Mengele. It's like, that seems really fucking far-fetched. There better be an explanation for it. And then there is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Joseph Mengele was doing biological experiments. My thought would have been like, he was his son. He was his,
right. That's right.
His apprentice,
a clone,
or just a fan, or a clone.
Yeah.
Something like that.
For the record, he drowned in 1979, was buried under the false name of Wolfgang Gerhard, and his remains were disinterred and positively identified by forensic examination in 1985. So no, Joseph Mengele is not still alive.
Or
right.
Is he?
He was, living back and forth between three or four countries, Paraguay. I think it was Paraguay where he actually drowned. But yeah. He drowned in a swimming accident. They had nothing to do with justice. It was kind of weird. Mm-hmm.
Weird thing is, like, and Phil, you guys are old enough, along with me, to remember, like, when people would say, like, is it possible Hitler is still alive in Argentina?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, I think like that. Bormann was still living, you know, for years. And it's like, well, not anymore.
And eventually, like people who said Elvis is still alive and fighting monsters in an old age home somewhere. and eventually you live long enough to realize, you know what? It's completely moot point now. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. Yeah. When I read the. And then Heinrich Mueller was another one too. He just disappeared. He was the head of the Gestapo, and he disappeared. Rumor is that the Russians got him, but he just disappeared. So was he still alive? You know, but yeah, now we're talking 30 years.
Once the whole thing with the Nazis started coming up, I started to try to guess what they were going to do. Were they going to go with the Nazi Hitler's obsession with the magic of the occult? Like, you know, via Hellboy, or are we going to get some, like, Overlord, you know? Because usually that's the two directions a lot of Nazi horror films go with.
Yeah, I got to give credit to Hitler. Like, he is, you know, he had so many things for writers to exploit as a villain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't just, like, one note. Like, I hate brunettes. Yeah, he just, you know, you could go with the Jews, you could go with the experiments, you can go with the
gypsies,
the mystics. You just keep going. Yeah, it's just he's like a gift that keeps on giving.
It's true. Yeah, that's why the Indiana Jones they chose the Nazis because it's it makes sense.
Nazis, I hate these guys.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I do find, and this was a thing I was thinking before I realized just how Nazi they were going to go with this.
Which I was like, really? Pretty as much Nazi as you can go unless it's fucking Hitler.
Oh, yeah, pretty much, right? It's like, yeah, exactly. There's like just one more notch on the dial to get to Hitler. I was kind of thinking, you know, it's like, you know, what is the line from Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade? Oh, you know, these guys again? It's like.
Yeah, but Abe just said it. What is it, Abe, again?
Nazis, I hate these guys.
Yeah, it's like it's a cheap, in some ways it feels like a cheap shortcut. Now it's a grindhouse film, so cheap shortcuts are all the rage. I was like, Nazis and No, I'm not saying there are no Nazis in 2021. That's not my point. Because this isn't like neo-Nazis. This isn't white supremacists. This is like OG Nazi. I'm like, OG Nazi? This is 75 years later, and you're still pulling out the war, the actual war criminals, before you actually knew they were actually pulling out the actual war criminal of war criminals. It's like there have been other bad people in the time between then and now, right?
Yeah, lots of them.
And it feels like we could, you know, it's like, you know, we're not still making the Brits the villains because of the Revolutionary War, right? We can find others to critique, except,
yeah,
you know,
but Nazis make a pretty compelling fucking bad guy.
Well, that was, again, that goes back to Hitler had a great sense of art design, so they always look fucking fantastic on screen, right? They just work, right? You look at them, they walk on screen, black uniforms, the symbols, the iconography, you're just like, bad guys.
I think
yeah, they may have been evil, but they were snazzy.
The thing is that I think everybody can agree the Nazis were bad.
Yeah,
so that's why you pick them. While
other
groups like the Soviets or communists, there's oddly people who still like those groups. You know, while everybody can say they hate the Nazis.
Yeah,
I think even the Soviets and the communists are
yeah, the Nazis are easy antagonists for people to rally behind against. You know, considering everything they have done, they're easy. They're in TV tropes. There's a thing called the hate sink trope, a character or type of archetype that is just so hateful and despicable that it's so easy for the audience to hate them. That's the Nazis,
Canadians.
I think maybe one of the reasons why. Is that there's the footage, like actual film footage of Hitler doing his deal, which is, if you just like watch it, it's pretty chilling.
Actually, it's not even that, Eric. It was the footage of the Allied forces coming into Germany and finding the camps, and they were the ones that did all the filming.
Yeah.
Right.
It's one of the most well-documented horrors in human history, and I think that's one of the reasons it's stuck.
Well, I think that's part of it. I suspect some of it is that, to their credit, the Germans have owned up to it. They're like, yo, that was a bad thing we done did. Yeah. Whereas other countries have maybe been less willing to accept their role in doing some horrible things. Like the German, not the Germans, the Japanese did some pretty horrendous shit too.
Mm-hmm.
But
and they go, what? Me?
Well, that wasn't. Oh, we were friendly. We were friendly conquerors. No, we don't know what you're talking about.
What harbor?
Right. No, you provoked us into that. You know, or say if you're let's say for instance there was some country today that was putting people into concentration camps and forcibly sterilizing them, but we were afraid to criticize them because they produce a huge amount of our products.
Mm.
And therefore, we cannot ever make them out to be anything but the most wonderful people ever, because they have a billion people in their country, and we want them to watch our movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would never happen.
That would never
yeah.
What a weird reality we would live in then.
I found the other doctor was Simon Reicher, R-A-S-C-H-E-R, and his stuff is horrendous, horrendous. And then Himmler had him arrested and executed because he was even too bad for the Nazis.
Right, and the other
thing because it's funny, I'm laughing because it's like so ironic when evil people saying, oh, you're too worse, bad for us.
And the other thing I think is that the iconography, right, is that you see a Nazi, you go, boom, that's a Nazi. If you see someone come out in like unless you're a World War II aficionado, if you just see a Japanese guy in a uniform, you won't necessarily know that that's the Japanese uniform from World War II, unless you're given some context. Could be, you know, cause you don't see the clear, obvious like swastika there going, evil logo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very easy thing to communicate with just a single shot, like painting a door in your house.
Yeah, the swastika is really identifiable, easy label to slap on a bad guy.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, oddly, the Soviet communist symbols and things like that, they're still used by various countries in this world. So it's a, yeah, it's very easy to, basically everybody is pretty much agree that the Nazis were horrendous, not only for what they did to their own people, but also for what they did to other nations. While you can argue that the other nations that have been terrible things, have done terrible things in the modern era, did it mostly to their own people or their satellite nations. The Nazis were just very stupid because they decided to actually invade other countries, which causes a massive world war. So not good people at all.
you heard it here, folks. Dark Discussion stances, Nazis are bad people.
No, he didn't say that. He just said they're not good. They could be neutral. There's a whole slot. There's like six non-good alignments on the D&D chart that you can still.
I knew he was going to the Dungeons and Dragons. Well, they would be lawful. They would be lawful evil.
They would probably be lawful evil. Yeah. You know, I think I'm willing to go there, but we've at least moved them out of the lawful, neutral, or chaotic.
Okay. I'm taking a stance. Nazis are bad people.
Fair enough. I concur. I second that. I second that.
Hear, hear.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and so based off of all we're talking
going out
about,
on a limb.
Yeah, we're since we're talking just about the history of Nazis, basically what it is the old man Mueller is actually Joseph Mengele, who was one of the lead doctors at Auschwitz, which was a concentration camp where hundreds of thousands of people were executed and also experimented on. And Mengele was the one that was doing the science side of it, which was experimenting on people without their consent. In other words, basically torturing them. And so, yeah, he's a very bad man. And he happens to now somehow live in the United States as Werner Mueller. And he owns this house, and our three movers discover that he may actually, if not being Joseph Mengele, has a connection with Nazis or neo-Nazis, which is not a good thing. I think that sums it up.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he was a bad dude.
Right, yes.
I'm full of controversial statements tonight.
Right. So we're not talking just regular neo-Nazi type film. We're talking about a grindhouse film, so we're going to have a lot of weird things that they're going to find in the house that...
Particularly in the attic and the basement.
Yeah. And actually, when Mule is watching them, and he locks them into the house. I don't even
remember. Well, because they discover a little suitcase in one of the closets.
It falls out of the ceiling, so I wonder if that was actually up in the attic.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But what was I was having trouble. What was it?
Teeth.
A container full of teeth and fingernails.
It was like all like baby teeth, and I guess there was some fingernails in there too. Teeth, fingernails. And there were some like documents in there too.
Yeah, and that pretty much blows Mueller's cover. It's the Tooth Fairy.
So apparently he has the whole place wired, so he sees them on camera, discover this, and I guess he's got like an emergency button in the basement that he hits to lock the whole place down so that the movers are now trapped in the house.
Right. I love how the button is a very old Victorian style button, you know, one of those turn cranks instead of like modern stuff. So that was awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't remember them ever unlocking the house. So I was shocked when they were able to walk out of the house.
No, they did.
Yeah.
Okay. They did. Okay. So I just missed that scene.
Yeah. You're right, Mike. Phil was on his phone.
They show him. And yeah, that was one of the shocks at the end is that the guy, Schillinger, just knew automatically what button unlocked all the doors.
Right,
it wasn't like
house.
It wasn't like it was in, you know, the old Batman TV series where you have, you know, unlock button in the big letters right over the button. You know, it's somehow he knew that was how you unlock everything.
Well, maybe that's one of the things they teach you when you're a Nazi.
That could be. Maybe like it was just like the Nazis all used the same lock. Maybe they all use the same unlock button.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. But again, this is a grindhouse film, so we can let these things go.
Exactly. We yeah. didn't see, need to see him like spend 5 minutes pushing everything there.
Right, right.
You know.
Exactly. But they make two other discoveries, one in the attic. In the attic, they find...
Doesn't he let him loose? Doesn't Mueller let him loose or something? He presses a button to pop the door?
No, that's not what they find in the attic.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the one in the basement.
The attic is a conjoined twin.
Oh, yeah.
The one that can speak is named Sarah, and the other one seems to be dying.
I thought there was one of them's name was Anna. Or Anna.
It was Anna. It was Anne.
I thought it was Sarah. Anne hiding in the attic in the Nazi house.
I know. I thought that too.
You're right, Mike. That's a little on the there. Nose.
I was saying, I can't believe they're going in. Now this is classless.
Jeez.
Well, yeah. that's
out of my mind. One of them was named Sarah.
Right.
Yes.
And one was named Anne.
And one was named Anne. And if this was not a clear grindhouse kind of film, I would have had a harder time forgiving that, you know. But yeah, that was way on the nose.
It was literally like, wait, no, you're not really. Oh, you are. Okay, then.
For folks who don't know what we're talking about, there was a young 14-year-old girl and her family named the Franks that lived in the Netherlands. I believe Amsterdam or The Hague, one of the two cities. And they were living in an attic because when the Nazis invaded the Netherlands, they were rounding up all the Jewish folk, as they did pretty much everywhere, and other undesirables. And I put quotes around that because that's what they think, not us here. And so they were being hidden by a family in the attic. And what happened was Anne Frank wrote a journal for like a year or 2 years. But either way, eventually someone found out they were up there and turned them in, and they were all sent to concentration camps, and they all died, including Anne Frank, except for her father. Her father was the only one that actually survived the camps. And he went back and he found her diary, which she had hidden somewhere up in that attic that no one had noticed. And then he published it. And it's been a famous case.
Yeah.
Survival of a Jewish folk from the horrors of what the Nazis did daily to these people. What's that?
Oh no, yeah, it's one of the most famous diaries in history, and her stories is one of the most spoken of in terms of those trying to survive, as you said, the atrocities of the Nazis. It's definitely worth looking into. There's a lot of information about it. It's kind of hard not to know about Anne Frank and her family.
Her house is a museum now in the Netherlands.
Right. Yes, it is.
I mean, are we being overly condescending? They still teach this shit in high school, right?
Well, you got to remember, there's a lot of people that don't know where Sweden is on a map. So if they don't know where Sweden is on a map, they may not know certain historical things. I mean, as Abe said, what Mike said, what's a Hitchcock?
In fairness, they don't teach Hitchcock in high school.
I'm hoping they still teach World War II in school.
Yeah, I guess. But it's still hard to believe you don't know what a Hitchcock is.
I would say maybe because...
Everybody's heard of Psycho, right? I mean, how can you not have...
Well, but here's the thing, Eric. They've done studies. People remember about 4% of what they learn in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know... Like, I was never made to read in school The Diary of Anne Frank. I knew of it, but I think I knew of it from pop culture references to it and references to people who talked about it, but I never actually had to read it. So I could easily see that if somebody is not at all interested in World War II, and did not have a father who had the History Channel on constantly, that you might not know it.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I would think too. I'm shocked too, Eric. But I think some of us, and I'm not saying all our listeners, because again, it doesn't mean you're dumb. It just means that you're not familiar with certain subjects. But I think the most of us here just know a lot of this stuff, trivia stuff, or just common stuff like that more than...
And some people absorb certain bits of information in certain subjects better than in others, you know? Some people who are interested in science will digest that more easily than they would a math book or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. It's like... A good example of that, Abe, is like cooking, right? I mean, I could start talking cooking with some people and they don't know what the hell I'm talking about, you know, because they don't cook. It doesn't mean they're stupid. It just means they don't know, you know, they haven't read Julia Child's cookbook like I have, you know. So it's just like you said, it depends on if you.
Okay, I was just checking myself there.
It can't hurt.
I didn't want to treat people like they're stupid if they're still being taught these things.
Yeah, it can't hurt to explain it. It's just because, you know, not put it this way, not everybody who's listening to this podcast knows who Anne Frank is or Joseph Mengele is, so we're helping the handful of folks that don't know, so we're not condescending to anybody.
Okay, I just wanted to check on that.
Fair enough. So yeah, I agree with Mike. If this wasn't a Grindhouse film, my jaw would have dropped completely.
Right. Well, there's that, and just the use of Mengele as an actual character in the film that is not a historical work. I also think I might have. It's tough, you know. It's like I said, you know, when you got you can make the same argument for people who make films about serial killers, real, honest to God serial killers, or people who sell T-shirts of serial killers, and it's like. You know, on the one hand, I support your right to do it, but
is this really
the best way to make a buck? But hey, you know, it is what some people want to do. It's not a thing that I particularly want to do. I remember I talked about going to see the premiere for Killer Clown Meets the Candyman, which was the very over the top grindhousey fictional team up of Dean Corll and John Wayne Gacy. And, you know, part of the fact that it's recreating real events is what made it a really disturbing film.
Yeah. I actually broke up with a girl who had a cat that she named her, and she had a daughter, and her daughter named a cat Shea Quivara. And I said, all right, I'm all done. And so I never called that woman ever again. So because you know, that's like those people who wear those shirts. It's like a mass murderer and you're wearing the shirt of the mass murderer. No, that doesn't work for me. No, absolutely not. So I'm right there with you, Mike. It's weird how these people have this false serial killers like they do.
Like a celebrity.
Yeah. Never mind. Mass murderers and terrorists in history and stuff. You know, it's just people who do what they do. It doesn't work for me. Yeah.
Back to the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Anne and Sarah are hiding in the attic. And Carlos and Schillinger find her up there, and they're trying to figure out how to get her out of there.
You didn't explain what the deal was between Anne and Sarah.
I did, actually.
Oh, you did. They're.
Were you on your phone again?
I think what's his face? This was supposed to be a Mengele experiment, I guess, right?
Yeah. Which actually, upon looking up, because like after they revealed that this was actually him in the movie, I was like, get the hell out of here. That's why I looked up his Wikipedia page. He was actually particularly interested in using twins in his experiments. That's based in fact.
That is absolutely.
Well, scientists in general like twins because they're like an automatic control group.
That's right.
I mean, and look, let's be honest, there's nothing wrong with being into twins.
That's true. I mean, if you have two twins who are willing to do sound experiments for the Air Force or whatever, you can use one as control and one as not, and whatnot, and it makes sense. And Mengele, unfortunately, he was a sociopath and had no ethics. Decided to use twins without their consent, basically prisoners, and actually torture them completely, which is and while they're alive as well. So, as Eric said, it's pretty gross. What you see? Yeah, yeah. And what is on Wikipedia is legit, because as we know, Wikipedia is not a legitimate source for historical information. A lot of times it's a lot of crock. But based off of William Shire's The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, having read that and the experiments that Rauscher and Mengele did, Wikipedia is on the nose on this one. So their page, at least as of 3/25/2021, it's correct. Mm-hmm.
So while actually it's I'm sorry, it's Amanian shelter in the attic, and Carlos's lookout. And while Carlos is looking out, Mengele releases what is referred to in the credits as the Creeper. And this is the part of the movie I don't understand. I mean, clearly the Creeper was the result of some sort of genetic experiment. And it's like a dude that doesn't have any hair and looks kind of fucked up, and
basically like the Hills Have Eyes mutant.
Yeah, a little. Yeah. And at one point, Mengele refers to this one as his baby. But they, like, unless I really missed something, they don't really explain why Mengele made this thing or why.
Because
did I miss it,
can.
Or did they not explain it?
Because yeah, he can.
Just, yeah, that's all. Yeah. I mean, it's. He's just nuts, is all I can think of. Why would he put two twins together too? You know, I mean, it makes no sense.
I don't think he put them together. I think they were born that way.
No, he sewed them together.
I got the sense that they were sewn together.
Oh no shit! Okay, I thought they were.
Yeah, there's a close up at one point when they introduced the character to where you can see the back, and it's almost like surgical scars or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. Also, this is where I was lost. I mean, obviously, at that moment, I knew it was Grindhouse, right? When you see, you know, my name's Anne on in a little card that she's holding. But when you see that she has the congenital twin, or not even congenital, they're just attached twin, I said, all right, I know this is a Grindhouse film. But the thing I had problems with was that they were trying to get the girls out of the attic and say, we got to save you and get you out of here. At that point, I would have said, you folks stay here. We're going to get the cops, because there's no way you're going to move those folk. So I think I would have been trying to get the hell out of there and just call the cops. The moment you call the cops, this guy's done. But and at that time, they didn't know they were locked in, right?
Right.
No, they didn't
know.
So
I felt that was kind of a little silly. I think I would have got the hell out of there and just called the cops.
I think I would have gotten out of there a whole hell of a lot earlier than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that I would have found the. The lady in the attic.
Yeah, I would have been out of there the moment you found the teeth. I said, all right, I'm out of here.
No, before that, man, when I found those books down in the library, I would have been like, yeah, you know, see,
I don't need to pay. I'm good. I'm fine. So I think
you know, money is money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. The books were pretty freaky. Yeah, they were like weird books. So yeah, at that point, I think I may have left. Yeah, maybe you leave with the money, call the cops, you save the day, and you get to keep the money, and you don't have to do any work. That's how you do it. Yeah, so I think I'm with Mike though. Yeah, I wouldn't have never got into the attic at that by.
Yeah.
Found other stuff, yeah. But yeah, the Creeper. We're talking about the Creeper.
Eric. Yeah, so the Creeper is trying to chase people down, and basically what happens is that Mengele, although we don't know he's Mengele yet, has a confrontation with Schillinger and Imani. And shoots Schillinger, and then sees his tattoo, and is like, "Oh, I does he say something like, I have work for you?"
Or something like, "You reveal yourself finally," or something like that.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah, and then I forget how he gets subdued. Imani, does he just knock her out, or does he like...
Yeah, because basically they try to send her out earlier to go outside, because basically the building's old, so there's no signal.
Oh, that's right. They've been split up at that point.
Yeah, and then she gets knocked out, and then
so the creeper got her. That's right.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. The creeper got her.
The creeper got her, and then went after the folks upstairs.
Right. Now, Abe, you said they have cell phones? Did you say
they did? But the problem is, as the antagonist explains, is that the house is old, made of stone and stuff, so it blocks out a signal. Even Carlos couldn't get. He was trying to call earlier. When they're just doing their work before they found things were fishy, and they have to go outside in order to get a signal.
Right, right. That's right. Yeah. Gotcha. All right. So that makes sense. Yeah. So she gets caught by the creeper, and the other guy, Carlos, gets taken out by the. So I couldn't believe they were going to Zyklon B, or whatever it is.
Well, I kind of like that.
I had with the movie, but we'll get to that later.
But all right,
yeah, no, that I guess you're right. It makes sense that they would actually use Cyclone B. So,
I mean, if he's Mengele, that makes sense.
Yes, yeah, and he is. Yeah.
I mean, again, 20 something years. I mean, 75 years later, 76 years later. Yes,
well, and it is still available. It is used for certain things. It was originally, I think, a pesticide.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously not sold under that name anymore for reasons.
Right. Yeah.
for reasons. Yeah. But also, I mean, the use of it in the camps was to, unfortunately, murder, scores of people at one time. So I doubt he would be using it just in his own house. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that was meant for a lot. I think that room was meant for like experiments that were failed, and just kill them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what he said. It's where, you know, he went, you know, where his failed experiments go.
Right. And instead of just shooting him in the head, he has to use this Zyklon. I guess.
Well, Grindhouse. Well, yeah,
Die Hard.
Yeah, it's Grindhouse. You're right. That's great.
Well, it seems to be there seems to be some kind of sadistic part of the character who relives his past, because when Carlos gets himself trapped in there, the guy goes through his entire ceremony, again dressed up in his old uniform, and going to taunt Carlos as he's suffocating in the room. Basically, almost like he's reliving the days when he was under the regime.
And by the way, I don't know if any of you guys watched through the credits or not.
Yes,
I did.
Okay, so there was a mid-credit shot of Carlos waking up.
Awesome.
Well, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Did you watch it all the way through the credits?
Again, Wikipedia, because it's the easiest thing to find. Death occurs in a human being weighing 68 kilograms or 150 pounds within 2 minutes of inhaling 70 milligrams of hydrogen cyanide, which is what Zyklon B is.
Yeah.
Or at least the active ingredient that kills people. Right.
Yeah, did you watch all the way through the credits?
Yes,
I did.
So yeah, they explain why he comes back.
How did they explain
did that? They?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Because
in what manner?
He was injected. He got injected with the enzyme.
You would be dead.
So was Schindler. He was pretty much dead to, at that point as well.
Yeah, Schindler injects him with the enzyme. They mentioned it at the end. There's a final. Oh. There's not a mid credit scene. There's a post credit scene.
No, I saw it, I didn't catch that line.
And then what's her face says that, you know, that something along the lines of you both owe me your lives, or you know, it's because of me that you're both going to come back. Because he does say thank you for injecting me with the enzyme.
But
that's how he comes back.
But wasn't he already dead though?
I mean, do you know how Nazi enzymes collected from nerves and
that's fair. That's fair. It was the science.
Yeah. I mean, there's already leaps in logic with the twins being still one of the twins still
being
alive.
Oh, there's all sorts of leaps of logic going on here.
Yeah,
right. Like if this was a David Fincher film, you know, right, that took itself very seriously.
Right.
It would be a completely different story. But you know what? I'm glad he didn't die. And so I'm willing to accept whatever bullshit explanation they come up with to tell us why he didn't die.
I'm not glad he didn't die. I thought he was the worst character in the movie. So,
yeah, which character?
Carlos.
Yeah.
Right, wait a minute. Let me just be clear on this.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
You're saying he's the worst character in a movie that also has Joseph Mengele as a character.
Yes. I'm talking on an interesting character basis. He was the least interesting character to me.
Right, he's not talking about... Yeah, because some villains... villains in movies can be hilarious, even though they use a real name and supposedly the same person. Obviously, you know, this is a Grindhouse film, so I'm fair with what Eric said. But I think it was... I don't know. I would have just liked them to die. All of them die. It would have been kind of fun. I was hoping that they killed the Nazis, and then when they tried to get out of the house, they couldn't get out, and then they all died by the creepers or something. But it didn't
happen. That would have been a logical conclusion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it was
entirely sure how trauma and the optic nerve can create a serum that gives you longevity. What?
And once you have two twins who are still alive after being surgically put together and mutant, you know, attack dogs, you're already in bronze of logic. It's a Grindhouse film. It's not trying to take itself too seriously.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. And by the way,
I think it's dumb.
Yeah. I do remember looking this up. I might have been for when we did the Human Centipede 2 movie.
We did that movie on the show.
That they did do experiments. I can't remember if it's the Nazis or the Japanese, you know, but we can't use as villains. There was the Nazis who actually did experiments with, like, stitching things together and playing around with digestive systems and stuff like that. So there are bases for those experiments, as disturbing as it is.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. But they usually all died pretty quickly. And,
but we don't know how long Anne has been in the attic. Infection.
That's true. Yeah. But again, it's a Grindhouse.
And he has been now doing these experiments for like 80 years. I figure he's gotten better at it.
He got better.
I guess that makes sense, Mike. Yeah.
I don't think any of it makes sense.
Well, I'm trying to be polite, Eric. I'm trying to be polite. Yeah. Yeah. That was... Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, for the creeper, it's a dude. Fundamentally, it's a dude. It's was he a naked dude?
No, he had pants.
He had pants. Okay. So he doesn't even. So you don't even have that excuse. I mean, it's a dude. Hit him in the head with the nearest heavy object.
We
never saw anything to imply he's like super strong. He's just a creepy dude.
Yeah, he basically goes down pretty quickly with a few stabs from the screwdriver. So they're not like the Overlord mutants.
Right, that's true.
Right, he wasn't even like some huge hulking person. It was just like a dude that needed a shower badly, you know.
And a toupee.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point, too. Yeah, they weren't – and plus, they would die from the Zyklon B, too. Now, when Sarah and Anne split, did they die after that? Because whatever happened to them?
We never really find out, do we? No,
it was kind of weird. I was like, what happened to them? Yeah, because that was...
I mean, because, once you try to separate Sarah's going to definitely die.
Yeah, you think. And then they just forget the whole story plot.
Well, I mean, it's the end of the movie. You know, I don't think... You know,
but
that,
if you had those
really credit
sequences, you think they would have had an exposition.
Yeah. If you're going to go through the trouble to give us, like, post-credit shit, like, tell us what happened to those guys, for girls, yeah?
Well, they told you that Carlos, the man who was worse than Joseph Mengele, made it and survived and explained how.
That's not what I said, you fucking jackass. That's not what I meant.
And again, Eric has a fair point, which is they should have had something in the credits to say what happened to Sarah and Anne.
They split up.
So once again, Mike is a horrible person.
I don't think it ends well for them.
At least for Sarah, it doesn't end well, because at least, you know, and it's got like 8% of the body.
Yeah, that's true. I just thought they should have concluded that storyline better if they were going to have the end credit sequences. They shouldn't have had the.
I don't think they should have had the credit sequences. I think they should have ended with Schillinger facing off against the Creepers. That's, you know, their credits.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I think because if I'm making a sequel to this, I am picking up the sequel exactly where this movie ended off.
And why was he making Creepers? What were they for? What was the purpose?
It's true. They never explained that because they're not very effective. Hell, one takes forever to get through a cardboard box that Anne was hiding in.
That's a fair point. And as Mike said, with that box.
And as Mike said, you can just put out your leg and trip them, and they fall down the stairs. It's not like they're. So yeah, that's a good point. I don't get why they had the end credit sequences, except to he wanted his characters to live, or a jokey film or something at the end.
The film definitely had a lot of like black comedy sprinkled throughout. You know, a lot of times he was even more silly in times. Yeah. So maybe that was just to keep him within it. I don't know. If there's ever, I know some Shudder movies are ended up on DVD. I actually still saw a few here and there. If they ever do, I'd like to find out if there's like a commentary or something like that explains a little more. Maybe there's like different cuts and stuff.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's only an hour and like 13 minutes, I said, without if you take out the credits. So there must have been a lot that was thrown on the floor, cutting room floor, I would think. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a very short film. It's good for its pacing, but at the same time, it does make you wonder if there were some things that they might have axed along the way.
True. Let's see. What other scenes did we want to talk about or pieces? Anything else?
No, I don't know. For me, I think. Well, the door. The door made me. Look, I get it. He's Joseph Mengele. He's an asshole. But he has somehow managed to survive undetected for 75 years in the United States. And yet he just also manages to paint one door in his house with a giant swastika. I would think you would
until you hit the lockdown button.
Yeah. I think you would try to hide the little things, like maybe not bring your uniform with you. Unless he was expecting to go back into the army. I don't.
maybe just parties.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh my god.
It's just... but it's Grindhouse.
I want to know what that means.
It's called the Nazi Party. What? You thought they were serious all the time?
It's like
they had fun too.
Yeah, it's like a total party, but you can dress up as a Nazi.
For crying out loud. let's see.
Yeah, I think we're done.
Yeah, I think so. We're going.
Now, before we get into our final thoughts, is there any news or other things you've been watching that or reading or whatever that folks would be interested in that maybe listen to this podcast? Hey, why don't we start with you? Any video games, movies, TV shows?
Actually, I've been trying a number of different demos for certain games coming out. Unfortunately, I don't have them in front of me. But probably next time when I compile a list and kind of play with them a little more, because there's some upcoming horror games and stuff and other things that, you know, seem to be slated for this year or a little later. But aside from that, not a whole lot. I did get to revisit the Museum of Art, Fine Arts, though. It's you know, not as filled up as it used to be, so the situation right now, but there's some great exhibits down there, especially the Monet exhibit that you should be able to check out. I didn't get a chance to see that either.
Monet really pumps my nads.
Oh boy.
Now is this in the Boston one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
so you've been to Boston?
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, I actually, it was part of my birthday. gift. And it was really cool to see there. Just
because, by the way, that was a movie quote.
Oh, that was? I didn't know that.
Breakfast Club. Have you ever seen it?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen that movie.
Okay.
Does it have giant monsters in it? Aliens? Anything with a rubber face? No. Why would we watch that?
But I definitely think people should go down to the Museum of Fine Arts a little more. It's got some really great stuff down there. If you've never been down there before, help them out, especially consider their how many people they can accept at a time is limited because of the COVID. But if you go down there, give them support, and you know, because museums, libraries, stuff like that, they're struggling right now. So any love and funding you help them with will be great. Those are very important. Aside from that, I'll save the list of things I've been checking out for next time. But that's what I've been mostly doing.
All right, sounds good. What about you, Mike?
Let's see. Well, we got a giant monster movie coming out, so I've been watching some giant monster stuff. And one of the things I watched is Netflix has it came out about 2-3 weeks ago, is Pacific Rim Black, which is
the eight episode
animated series. You know, if you're a diehard anime fan, I don't know that the anime is going to hold up. The animation is going to hold up as like the best animation ever. But, you know, as an entry in the Pacific Rim series, I liked it quite a bit. The problem is it's like clearly a act one. There is a second season that is coming. The story is set, I think, sometime after the Pacific Rim sequel. And it's set on the continent of Australia, which has fallen to the kaiju. There really aren't a lot of full-size kaiju, but they also introduce some smaller size ones so that you don't always have to have people running around in mechs. I kind of dug it, so I liked it, and I would recommend it if that's a thing that you're interested in, if you were a fan of that universe and you're looking like to kill a half hour rather than just watching yet another episode of The Simpsons. I also did watch the Snyder Cut of Justice League, which we may be doing a podcast about in about a month, because other people have to watch it, and it takes about a month to watch the whole thing. It is a vast improvement over the original cut. You know, the original cut was under directions from the clueless Warner Brother executives, and basically made them cut a 3.5-hour movie down to 2 hours, and then said, "Oh, and make it funnier." And yeah, the results were pretty atrocious. I think this version works much, much better. It's not perfect. I don't think it's a masterpiece. It could use a little trimming here and there. And it does have those moments of Zack Snyder wanting to, but this will look really cool. Okay, but Wonder Woman just blew up a whole bunch of little children. Did you not notice that? But it looks cool. Okay, fine. It has little moments like that in it. But, you know, you either like what Snyder does or you don't. It's not going to change your mind.
All right, sounds good. Yep, heard only good things. Only good things, and I'm planning to see it within the next week or two myself. Anything else, Mike? Is that it?
That I think is it. That's relevant. Yeah.
Okay. For me, nothing. Nothing.
Holy shit.
No new. Oh, yeah. Actually, I did see one film, and Eric mentioned it last week. No Fear. I saw a film called No Fear. KNOW Fear. It's a brand new horror film that just came out about 8 days ago. It's actually now free on Amazon Prime and Tubi. It is a pretty good, demon horror film. I think, Abe, you would like it for sure, because it has like a Necronomicon in it. It's really cool premise. Lower budget, but well done. Well, and good special effects for what they had. Nothing cheesy about it. So yeah, I would recommend it for sure. And that's pretty much it. Yeah, so if you have Amazon Prime, or any, if you don't, you can watch it on Tubi, Abe, so it's worth checking out.
Okay.
What about you, Eric?
Well, let's see. I actually read a book. First time in a while that's happened. I read Stephen King's latest book called Later.
Speaking of,
it's relatively short for a King book. It's only like 250 pages.
Yeah.
So it's got a lot in common with The Sixth Sense. That's kind of the setup for the whole story, is that there's a kid that can see dead people. And Stephen King is aware of the parallel. He mentions the movie in the book. And so if that sounds like something you might be interested in, check it out.
Did you get the Kindle version, or did you buy the paperback?
Because it's only I haven't purchased a physical book, and you know what the last physical book I got was, Phil?
Was it by Joseph Mengele?
1960 whatever.
11/22/63.
Yep, I was right.
Yep. Have you read that yet?
I have not, believe it or not.
You suck, dude. That was 10 years ago.
I know. We were even talking about possibly doing an episode on the book.
I know. Man, you suck.
Yeah.
He was too busy watching The Stand.
Well, no, this is the reason I've stuck away from it is it's another one of those 1,300-page books, Mike. It's like really.
It's just like reading three smaller books.
Yeah, that's true. Sure. I mean, I've read The Stand twice, and I've read it once, and so yeah. I mean, I can do it.
You can do it, Phil. Yeah. Anyway, so I rewatched a couple of movies. Somebody posted something about the movie 1 Hour Photo, which inspired me to revisit that movie. It's still great. Although it was filmed at the time, like it's about a guy that works in a 1 hour photo developing place. And
that's Robin Williams, right?
Yeah, that's Robin Williams.
I saw that one. Yeah.
It's a great movie, but it's a little less relevant than it used to be. I mean, they do mention digital photography in that movie, and he says, "Oh, don't do that. You'll put me out of a job." Yeah, well, that has kind of happened.
Maybe it was that movie. Did you ever think maybe that movie just told people, you know, like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to digital. I don't want to deal with these photo booth people ever again. Clearly,
right,
they're
maybe,
horrible.
Maybe. And then for the basement movie cast this week, we watched Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior. Which I hadn't seen in a long time, and it's actually pretty decent considering when it was made and how it was made.
I certainly think it's the best of the original three.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And that was back in the day before computer effects, and there's an explosion in that movie that's just like, holy shit, that is a large explosion! And according to the trivia on IMDb, it was so large they had to notify the nearby airports that it was going to happen when they did it. Oh, but it was certainly impressive. Yeah,
that was that was the second film, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And is that the Scream version, Scream Factory version? Didn't they have one put it out? So did someone?
I don't know.
Yeah,
we were watching it on Vudu. But I don't know if there's a Scream Factory version.
Gotcha. Yeah. I swear that there was a. It's called Road Warrior, is it?
Mm-hmm. You could be right. I just don't know.
Yeah. No. I remember somewhere that one of them got a really good release recently.
Well, and if you want to see old school,
it was Mad Max. It was Mad Max. That's the one there.
Oh, the original.
Yeah, the original that got a Scream Factory. Yeah.
No, but the Road Warrior has some pretty cool practical effects. I mean, they made over 80 custom vehicles for the movie. And there's live stunt work. In fact, another piece of trivia is there's a scene in the movie where they roll a semi. And they considered the stunt so dangerous that they had the driver not eat anything for 12 hours beforehand, assuming they were going to have to rush him to surgery.
Christ, that's crazy.
So, yeah, if you want to see real explosions and fire and stunt work, old school 80s style from Australia, check out The Road Warrior. And that's really all I've been up to.
That's the second in the series, yeah.
Yes.
I like those old movies, you know, where they didn't rely on special effects. And if you wanted a movie where a kid was eaten by a shark, God damn it, you just threw the kid to the shark.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, yeah, I did do that. I interviewed with Leo Pond and PJ Rahal. I forget the guy's first name, but his last name's Voorhees. He was the actor that played the Kittner boy. And so we interviewed him on Saturday morning and talked to him about an hour about his experience on the filming of Jaws. So that was pretty cool. People can watch that as a video cast. You can find it on the Dorkening Network. So, yeah, it was good to talk to that guy. He owns a restaurant now on Martha's Vineyard. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you one other thing, Eric. Later, the book, right? Stephen King book? Is it worth doing an episode if I read the book?
I mean, if you want to read the book, read it and we'll talk. But I don't know if it's really all that much to talk about. It's relatively uninteresting as far as its newness or specialness of the story.
I just don't understand. You're Stephen King. You have written dozens of books. God knows you've made a ton of money. And you say, you know what? You get the idea to basically rewrite or like rip off The Sixth Sense. And you just, yeah, I'm going to go ahead with it. Fuck it. I mean, it's just weird to me that he would put the effort into writing that book. Now, you've read the book. You know, maybe there is something worthwhile. But just as a surface thing, it feels like, oh, man.
The setup is The Sixth Sense thing. But the story is really about the kid and his mom and her partner. And that's the interesting part of the story is not that he can see dead people. It's what happens because of the people around him in his life.
Okay.
Gotcha. All right. So, I mean, even if I read it and, you know, and a short episode, I would be willing to do it, Eric.
Yeah. If you read it and you're into it, you want to do that, let me know.
All right. Sounds good. All right. I just placed my order. I'm ordering the book. Actually, the paperback is cheaper than the Kindle because it's
It takes up space, so fuck that.
Indeed. Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, but I'll take it's a paperback, so it's a small one, but you're right, it takes up space.
No, there's some people that say they don't want to read electronic books because there's just something about a physical book, and I get that. I have already filled up my bookcases. I don't have room for any more.
And I agree. After reading the Richard Ramirez biography on my iPhone, actually, I read it on my iPhone. It's not that big of a deal. So I could switch to electric e-books with no issues, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it makes sense. I mean, I used to be that way with CDs. I'll never give up my CDs. And then it's like, oh, I can play my music on any device anywhere. This is great. When I buy it. So, yep. I don't need CDs. All right, so that's pretty much it. So I guess we can give our final thoughts. But before we do, Eric, you actually do another podcast with your buddy Dan?
I do. It's a general interest podcast called the Askancy Podcast. That's spelled Askancity. You can find it wherever you got this one.
Excellent. And you do a basement something or other?
Yeah, that's why I was watching Road Warrior. We watched it and talked about it on the Basement Movie Cast.
Nice. That sounds like an odd topic, though, for that. I mean, it is, you know, a midnight movie, but it seems like most of the movies you do there are like silly movies.
Well, they're mostly silly and they're mostly horror. And sometimes they're not as silly horror. Like it depends on what your definition of silly is.
You know what I think is the best?
We did Sleepaway Camp. I don't know if I'd.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't know if it's intentionally silly. Stick to horror, but the guy that runs the show, Scott, he's the guy that picks all the movies, and he just chooses a movie, and Brian and I show up and talk about it. We don't always know what this is going to be until sometimes, like, right when we're starting.
What did you think of Sleepaway Camp?
Oh, I'd seen it before. Yeah, but one of the co-hosts had not. Brian had not seen it before, and Scott and I got to watch it with him and get his live reaction to the ending of that film, and it was priceless.
That's awesome.
No, you know what I think is the best weapon ever made there, Eric?
Hmm.
A boomerang with razor-sharp edges. What could possibly go wrong with that?
Oh, what's that, in Sleeping Lion Camp?
No, that's Road Warrior.
Oh, Road Warrior, yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I didn't remember that scene. Yeah,
and so that little feral kid ruled.
But I still don't know how he had all his fingers.
Yeah, me neither. But true.
Mike, me, you, and Eric do another podcast on the side.
Yes, on irregularly semi-monthly podcast called Cinema a la Carte, where we pick a film that doesn't necessarily nicely fit onto the Dark Discussions label. A movie like Road Warrior would probably be a good example of something like that. It would still be a film that we would like and probably would appeal to a large portion of our audience. You know, we're not likely to go do, I don't know, Sense and Sensibility. But we have done things like Inside Out and Stolit and Collateral and Forbidden Planet, Jack Reacher, this actually, again, started as a way to try to settle the debate whether or not Dark Discussion should cover Mission Impossible movies. So some of us here apparently have a Tom Cruise fetish. But anyway, so that is...
The majority of us have a Tom Cruise fetish.
Indeed.
We all like little people. So if you're interested in hearing our thoughts about other films, there's a few of those that are out now. We are... several episodes ahead of what's in the can. I don't know the schedule at which they were being released, but we just recorded another, and we've got another one coming up soon. So you'll have to wait and see what these are. These are. They are. Whatever.
Yep,
it
very
is.
Good, very good. I did a podcast called A Discovery of Witches, Demons, and Vampires. The podcast based off of the television series A Discovery of Witches on Shudder. We just wrapped up season 3. Myself, Barrett, and Kevin. Let's do the co-hosting on that. And we took a hiatus now until season 3, which will come out probably in 2022. Most of the people that we've been sticking out pretty well. We've been getting like 4,000 listeners. And we've discovered, based off of some of our emails, including from Deborah Harkness's publicist and assistant, who Deborah Harkness is the author of the books behind this TV series, that we are the only all-male podcast, and almost all our listeners are women. So I guess the show is very strongly dominated by women fans.
Didn't give full disclosure then, did you?
What do you mean?
One of the oldest Dark Discussions memes, correct, Erica Webster?
What?
Oh.
That
oh, I see what
Philip Perrone is, in fact, a teenage girl.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, that's a fair point, yeah. Yep. And yet the reason...
Sorry, I wasn't on my toes there, Mike.
and the reason I got into the show was because of Teresa Palmer, too. So, had nothing to do with...
To be fair, there are... more than a few surface similarities to a reviled tween horror romance series that was adapted into films. I am not putting it in the same category. I said there's surface similarities.
Yeah, there's no high school students.
There are no high school students. There are no werewolves that we know of yet.
It's closer to True Blood. I would say it's closer to True Blood than it would be to Twilight.
So, Phil, you've been doing a bunch of these podcasts about television shows lately, and mostly you've had nothing good to say. Do you have good things to say about this one? Should I watch it?
Yes. Me, Kevin, and Barrett give it high thumbs up, and every episode was great. Yeah. Again, though, Mike does have a fair point, which is it is a little romancy. So, just be sure that you know that it's similar to like a True Blood type rather than horror.
Romancy period PC.
Only the second season.
Because they want to make sure they know their audience. They want to make sure they can rip a bodice.
Well, I'll check it out at some point, and if it's not for me, I'll turn it off.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's Kevin lets it continuously. It's hilarious. He goes, after seeing Lovecraft Country, a discovery of witches is heaven. That's hilarious.
And then Barrett watch it at some point just to see what you guys are talking about.
Oh, and then Barrett says the same thing because The Stand was the worst. Oh, Jesus. It's terrible.
Yeah,
so, I you should watch it again just to make sure.
No. Did you ever get a letter from like the Lovecraft Country people pointing out they were like probably the only all white podcast that was covering that show?
Is that really true? Maybe.
I don't know. I imagine that was high on that. Yeah. I can't imagine there were a lot of. Although, you know what? White podcaster is kind of a redundant statement. So.
I guess. Actually, my first podcast I ever listened to was Three Black Guys and Two White Guys. So that was called The Spill Podcast, which is actually still around now as Something Toast. I forget what it is.
Breakfast double toasted toast. Or something like that?
Cinnamon toasted.
Double toasted, yeah.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch? No.
They're called double toasted now. But either way, it was funny. We got one of the emails for Discovery Witches. They mentioned Mike. The girl said the woman said she loves our show and all that stuff. And then she says, if you could, I would love to have you guys do a podcast on American Gods. I was like, no! So I had to write back to her and say, well, I explained why that we did the first season.
It got so bad in the second season. And I am sorry, but I thought that second was far worse than either The Stand or Lovecraft Country. Far.
They were all. I'll need to watch all those series again and let me know which one's the worst.
No, I won't.
And I'll be over here watching different things.
So fortunately, at least one.
Are you
spin-off.
Sure The Stand's worse than The Mist, Phil? I think you need to watch them both again and make sure.
That's a tough. Yeah, they both sucked. And it was like, actually, you know what? Even though The Mist was probably worse, The Mist for some reason I had to watch. While The Stand, if I wasn't doing the podcast, I would have stopped watching it.
You know, I think you sound ambivalent. I think you need to watch them both again.
At least the Discovery of Witches was good, so we lucked out in one of the podcasts. But I'll tell you one thing: because of The Stand, I suggested to Barrett and Letts to do Clarice, as a new TV show.
Right.
Barrett said, "I after Lovecraft Country and The Stand, I'm going to have to watch the first episode before I just." agree to anything like that ever again. So,
that's why I initially turned you down on the Lovecraft Country because you like notified me like the day before the first episode was going to come out, and I was like, I don't know, not with one day notice.
But Phil had done all the research into it having a title.
That's right. That's what I did. Yep. Well, I again though I must admit, Mike, I have to tell the truth. I thought it would get high ratings as a podcast, which it did. Oddly, the TV show podcasts get high ratings, especially if they're high profile. Hmm. So, like The Undoing, which you would kind of think would be was the show that replaced Lovecraft Country. That one has like the one episode that was released when I started tracking had like 1,000 listeners in the first week alone. Nice. And so. And Lovecraft Country and Undoing still get listeners even these months later. So it's kind of interesting how.
Is anybody hitting up our old spinoffs about Game of Thrones and?
Oh yeah. Westworld, Game of Thrones, and American Gods have been all hit pretty big.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So people still listening to them. Yeah. So they'll all once Westworld comes back, all the old episodes will stop popping up. Being listened to again too, because all the American God ones were—they all started popping up, and then our announcement, 6-minute announcement, saying that we're done with the podcast, that got like 400 listens in the first day. So there were people listening to the podcast, waiting for us to come back. I guess. So,
yeah, it's amazing with all those downloads. We got an option. It's been optioned into a movie. So that at least
you guys did the courtesy of making the announcement. I admire that because I hate it when podcasts just like disappear.
Well, in our defense, we could have just disappeared because the show had disappeared for 2 years.
Yeah.
So we had an easy exit, but yeah, I mean, but it's not like Dark Discussions vanished, so we were there.
Yeah,
and I would have certainly been willing
Dark
to check out.
Dark Discussions hasn't vanished.
That's what he said.
That's what
he said. Dark Discussions hadn't vanished, so we were still around. So it wasn't like.
Oh, I thought he was making reference to us having vanished. I was like,
no.
Something happened.
Right. So it's not like somebody like something shut down in the in between seasons, and you would understand where they
went
away.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was a decent, and I had to, and we had to explain it. And I just, you know, if I still had stars and more time, right. I would certainly have given the third season a chance. I would not have done an episode until I'd gotten through like one or two episodes just to see if the show had righted itself or not, because it had gotten terrible, and it was a miserable experience trying to review the show and trying to be hopeful and trying to find good things to say about it. And
yeah.
You know, it just, and when you know it wasn't really quite working, and you just, and it was, the problem is that they were all sucking every episode for the same reasons.
Yeah. Right. And Mike's
nothing new.
And Mike's honest. I mean, again, if we had known it was coming out and I wasn't already doing the Stand and the Discovery Witches podcast, I think, yeah, me and Mike probably would have tried to figure time to do it. But again, I was swamped, and Mike was still busy just on regular stuff. Never mind his bad taste from the prior season. That it was like, it was kind of easy to just let it go, kind of sort of.
Yeah.
So if it came out like in like 2 months from now, or if it came out today, if it came out this month, we probably would have done it. I think, Mike.
Maybe. If I still had stars, if this was the Godzilla series, I would totally sign up for stars for a month or two just to watch the Godzilla series. Yeah. I was not paying to see stars for the American gods.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I agree. So anyway. All right. So I guess we can give our final thoughts on this movie here. Something about.
Say it.
I, what is it again?
Say it!
I have to look it up. I honestly
say it.
Don't.
Stay out of the fucking attic.
That's it. Stay out of the fucking attic. So let's start with you, Abe.
So this film has ups and downs, whether it's over the top acting or lackluster acting, or some good delivery, or it's good effects, or some amateur camera work, or you know some. Inconsistencies or things just not explained well enough or whatever. It's a pretty decent grindhouse film. You could find better and absolutely, absolutely find worse out there. This film is not bad. It's actually kind of fun at times. There's actually some really cool moments and some good kills. So if you have a Shudder account or you're trying out Shudder, you can at least give it a watch. It's very short. It's not very long. The pacing's tight enough in a way that it flies by pretty fast, so it's not going to be a miserable experience. Maybe you'll actually really like it more than we did. Overall, I thought this was a fun discussion, and this was a decent little film.
All right, sounds good, Mike.
Yeah, you know, first of all, the movie's called "Stay Out of the Fucking Attic." So there's that. It's got Nazis. And Nazi experiments in it. You know, that's if that appeals to you, you are going to be an audience for this film. If it doesn't, then you probably won't. I do think, yes, there are flaws in the film that come from its budget and I'm sure production and all the rest. But to me, this is a case of it's a fun movie. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And so I really liked the film. This will not be my favorite film of the year. It is because it does have those flaws. It is fun. It is not that fun, but it is fun. And if that's a thing that you enjoy, certainly seek it out. You probably already have Shudder if you are that person. But otherwise, yeah, if you can pay for a rental, if you want to do that, or wait for it to pop up streaming else, in other places, fine. But I would certainly put that on there. If those are things that are going, that do not appeal to you, if those grindhousey sort of fun exploitation things aren't going to appeal to you, and you are going to be bothered by other things that drag it down. Although, again, I think we all said, like, the performances really was just the beginning, like the first act that were a problem. It wasn't really a problem afterwards. Like I said, it's a fun, it's enjoyable movie. I recommend it.
All right, very good. Yeah, for me, it was all right. I mean, I wasn't really a big fan of the film. I didn't feel like I was wasting my time, but it wasn't anything I would highly recommend. Whether you saw it or not, I don't think it really would matter. I agree with Mike. Once the first act is over, the acting and all that is pretty good. But again, as Abe said, yeah, this is most certainly a grindhouse film. So you're going to find a lot of things that don't make sense or be silly or over the top or crazy. Watch it with a bunch of friends type of film. I mean, the title, as Mike said, obviously gives you the hint that that's the type of film it's going to be. Never mind, the end credit sequences kind of make it a wink again, too, to the whole audience, you know, whatnot. So it's all right. I don't think it'll make my top 20 for the end of the year, but not a complete waste of time. Eric?
Yeah, I'm pretty similar. I think this was a decent movie, but not a great movie. If you already have Shudder, check it out. If you don't, I personally wouldn't recommend spending any money to watch it.
All right. So, once again, this is what the hell's the name of it again? Stay Out of the Fucking Attic. directed by Jaron Lauder, written by Jason Scott Goldberg, Jesse Fetterman, and Jaron Lauder. Stars Ryan Francis, Morgan Alexandria, Bryce Fernelius, and Michael Flynn. You will be able to see it on Shudder. It's only on Shudder. That's right. It's on Shudder right now. So if you subscribe to Shudder, you can watch it there. I'm not sure if you can watch it anywhere else at this time. But with all that stated, Eric, what do you need to say?
All right. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us talk about Stay Out of the Fucking Attic. Come back next week. We'll have another topic.
Or will we?